Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff Malinoff, and with me is my good buddy, Mark Souza. We have a lot to talk about today. We're first going to talk about the ALCS matchup between the Red Sox and Astros, and maybe some stuff they're going through in the behind, off the field, as well as the NLCS and the 13 innings that lasted last night, and we'll probably preview the games tonight. We also have a lot of others to talk about. And what else we could talk about, Mark?
NBA opening night last night.
Oh, goody.
So we'll talk about the Warriors and the Celtics wins last night. And then, we'll talk about in the last segment Nick Bosa and his decision, his decisions at Ohio State. We'll see what he has decided to do. And we'll talk about the U.S. men's national team, the U.S. women's national team, of course, our soccer teams here in this great country, plus other notable international soccer scores, because this was International Week around the world. So, Jeff, let's start off. You want to talk about the ALCS first?
Sure, let's do it. The Red Sox handled the Houston Astros 8-2. This wasn't even really close, but
you don't think so?
It changed the momentum of the series, that's for sure.
It was a good game, though, until the eighth inning, right?
It kind of got out of hand after it got.
I mean, the grand slam. Yeah.
I mean, once it rained, it started to pour.
Yeah, I mean, the grand slam just opened the game wide open. But I mean, I thought it was a really competitive game for seven innings. I mean,
just 5 runs in one inning usually just seems.
Well, at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you think though? I thought both pitchers pitched really well. I think when we talked about the game, I don't think either one of us really thought we were going to get that big of a pitcher's duel. Would you agree? I mean, beyond taking the score, you know, it's 8-2, but I mean, during the starting pitchers pitched really well.
Yeah, they did. It just, honestly, we were talking about how good the bullpen needs to be, and one bullpen kind of choked on it, and the other bullpen thrived.
Yeah. Yeah, so Eovaldi and Keuchel, I thought both pitched really well. Obviously, I think Eovaldi pitched a little bit better. But again, it was a situation like you just mentioned where the Astros, they just could not hang. They couldn't stop the Red Sox and that potent offense from scoring. You know, Roberto Osuna, he comes in. He gives them 2/3 of an inning, gives up 5 earned on 3 hits. So, it was a rough day for that Houston bullpen. A game that I really thought they were going to take because they were at home. Those fans are great. But yeah, a disappointing loss for them as they go behind 2-1 in the series. Did other than Jackie Bradley, anything notable that stood out to you about last night's game?
No, you kind of just, you told me besides what I wanted to say. So, no, I'm good. What about you?
Did you see the catch that Tony Kemp made on the wall last night?
You mean where he ran into the wall?
He didn't really run into the wall. He just jumped up and caught it. I mean, his glove hit the wall, but.
Well, it looked like he almost, like, busted his ankle, though.
That was a great catch. He got up there. That was fantastic. You know, playing that left field in Houston, as we know, it's always tough with that tall wall, that short wall over there. Not the most fun left field, would you say, in baseball?
Oh no, that's the worst left field in baseball.
I did not know this, but the broadcasters of last night's game were saying that they built the left field wall in Houston as to pay homage to
the Green Monster.
I didn't know that.
Can you imagine if someone actually tried to rob a home run and actually did off those one of those two walls?
Yeah, I didn't know that, though. Did you know that, Jeff?
I don't think that's even true.
Really? I'm pretty sure it is.
To the Green Monster? Like, then what? I don't know. I just...
Or they built that stadium and that wall in mind because of the Green Wall. Like, that was their motivation. They wanted to do something similar. I don't know.
Don't copy something that's legendary. That's just my take on it.
So, Houston, I mean, I thought they were in that game. You know, they gave up the lead early. They had some chances to score. Bregman, Altuve. Altuve's a little banged up, so... It's a little bit tough for him as he DH last night. He had a good game, though. You know, he did go 2-for-3 from the plate. He looked as good as he could, I think, with that knee. So, yeah. Any other thoughts for last night's game?
We were talking about just competitive throughout, and then it just got out of hand at the end there.
That Boston bullpen really shut it down. I mean, they pitched 3 innings. They give up 1 hit, 1 walk. That's pretty good.
Well, we were talking about bullpen wins championships, and this is kind of showing it right out.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, other than Jackie Bradley, the Red Sox offense was a little bit held in check, I would say. I mean, obviously there's good pitching on both ends, so we might not see some huge scores from both these teams, but... Boston does lead the series now, 2-1. Game 4, that will be tonight. What do you see, Jeff? What is your magic ball telling you about tonight's game? It's Porcello against Charlie Morton. So Houston kind of feels like they have to get this one, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to go through my crystal ball here, or my magic 8-ball. Who's going to win? Will the Astros win this game?
I think Boston.
Ask again later. It said ask again later.
Oh, really? Try to shake it again.
All right. Will Astros win this game? Don't count on it.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Porcello, I think, is a very underrated pitcher. And Charlie Morton, he hasn't really been pitching a whole lot lately. So it's hard for me to give the nod here to Morton, although he is a good pitcher. He's had a good season. The last time he pitched was about 2 weeks ago. So what do you say about that?
Not pitching for 2 weeks is a problem, I think. That feels like too long of a time in between. Like your arm, I feel like your arm will be used to not throwing, and then once you start throwing, you could cause some injury, maybe like rotator cuff problems. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, maybe so. But it has been a while since he's pitched. I don't know. He's in a tough spot. Like,
do you think too much time off is a problem?
I think for a pitcher, yeah.
Do you think 2 weeks is too long?
I would say so. I mean, we see how it is when pitchers are coming into spring training, and a lot of them, you know, have had like a month or two off, but we see how a lot of guys, it takes weeks, takes months even to kind of get in the full swing of thing. Not just pitchers, but baseball players in general, because baseball is a sport that requires a lot of repetition. Like it's a sport where you get in a groove.
Isn't all sports a lot like repetition?
Yeah, but baseball more so than others, because if you're a pitcher, you're throwing the ball like 100 times. You want to have that rhythm.
Same form, the same, yeah.
Yeah, and not only that, but it's hard to mimic an ALCS experience by throwing, you know, long toss in warm-ups, you know? Like, it's... Mm-hmm. Can he be relied upon after missing so much time?
Can he? That's the question.
That
to be or not to be, that's the question.
Yeah, so you got Porcello on the other side.
I feel like Porcello's going to be a main factor in this whole, for the Red Sox especially, because this starting lineup we talked about, they have 108 wins for a reason. And I feel like Porcello didn't get enough credit because Sale was being so dominant as the main, would you call Sale the ace of the lineup?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it just they're all so good. It's really hard to consider who's the ace.
They're all good, but if we were talking about like who's starting my game 7 to win the World Series, it's not Sale. Even questionable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like sometimes there's like a lineup and where like, oh, that's obviously the best pitcher, like Clayton Kershaw or like Madison Bumgarner or like Fernandez, for example.
Yeah, so going back to Charlie Morton, he last pitched September 30th, and that was a regular season game.
A long time ago.
He had some shoulder.
It was a regular season game?
It was.
So this is his...
Because they've had days off, and they won pretty easily.
So this CS is his first playoff appearance. That's a long gap.
Yeah, and, you know, he had some shoulder discomfort before that, so he wasn't pitching regularly, and then he came in and he pitched 3 innings in that game. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't pitched, even in that game, he didn't pitch very much. So it's an unknown with him.
Do you think the injuries in baseball are a little like ridiculous when they say it out loud? Like, he has a sore thumb, or he has a, like, his shoulder feels a little sore or something. Like, I understand baseball-wise, like, it's not the best to strain your body, but just the sounds of the injuries are sometimes a little silly. Pretty sure one time I heard a guy not playing because his pinky was hurting.
Well, I mean, it sounds silly, but if it's on your throwing hand, I mean, what are you going to do, right?
I know, but sometimes it feels like, oh, they're just making an excuse. Does it not?
It's like, yeah.
It's like a kid. I don't want to go to school. My tummy hurts.
I guess so. But, what do you think, though, about Morton? Like, or he says he has no preset limitations, so do you think that the Astros are just gonna let him go, or do you think that he might be on a pitch count that we don't know about?
I'm gonna go pitch count we don't know about. He's probably going to be watched heavily, though. He's gonna be watched, like, he's gonna have hawk eyes on him to make sure he's not straining himself or risking his team.
He says that he will have no restrictions. He says he's assuming that the coaches will let him go as far.
Keyword assuming.
Mm-hmm. But Porcello on the other side, he's 1-0 with a 1.35 ERA in the postseason. He's worked in relief as well, so he has played in these games that mattered. He has done it in different ways. He started. He's come in relief, so he's faced the pressure. I just feel like he's going to be more ready in game 4, and I could totally see the Astros going behind early because I think Porcello, it won't take him as much time to get into it. You don't know with Morton. He hasn't pitched in over two weeks. Even when he pitched, it was 3 innings. And now he's facing maybe the best lineup that the Red Sox have ever put out there. So it's a tall order.
When you face a team that has 108 wins in a season, that is never easy, especially with 2 potential AL MVPs. Probably an AL MVP in one of them, don't you think?
Absolutely. So I think we both agree that the Astros need this one. It's going to be a heck of a performance from Morton, in my opinion, for them to win that game. What do you see happening tonight?
The Astros need to get the bats moving. They're going to need to make some noise if they want to win this game. I know that sounds obvious, but it's like you need more than what you gave last time. 2 runs is not going to win it against the Red Sox.
Yeah, I think the Red Sox will win tonight. I'll say something like maybe 6-1, 6-2.
Wow, that badly. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Whoever wins this game wins the series.
That's not really a limb.
Well, do you agree?
Sure.
Okay. So we agree. Whoever wins this game, regardless who it is winning, taking the series.
I mean, okay. Most likely.
Okay.
But you wanted to talk about something that came up in the news regarding the Astros?
Yes, I did, because it's actually both the Red Sox and the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them have been accused of cheating.
Yeah, for videotaping dugouts or something.
Well, them and the Red Sox pitching rotation, they've all had some sort of substance on their arm. They have rubbed on their pitching hand and put on the ball. People have said it might be pine tar.
Yeah, there's that whole thing. And then the Astros were caught having a member of their team, not their team, but their organization, an employee, monitoring the Red Sox to see if they were doing anything outside the rules. So they were having somebody spy on the spies, I guess you could say. So now there's an investigation by MLB. So what do you think about this issue?
Interesting situation when both, we say they are the both best teams in baseball, are accused of cheating. Sounds like a Boston team accused of cheating. Where have we heard that before?
Right. So it's interesting. I think it's unfortunate because it's taking away from this great postseason that we've had in Major League Baseball where, I mean, the teams have given us a lot of excitement, the Astros and the Red Sox, and now we're talking about something completely, you know, away, not away from the game, but something that doesn't involve the players pitching or hitting or base running or fielding. So that's a little unfortunate. But what do you think about us taking a quick break? And then when we come back, we'll talk about the NLCS. Talk about last night's crazy game, 13 innings. We can discuss also game 5 of that matchup, which will be today. It's a quick turnaround for the Dodgers and the Brewers, but we'll do that right after this.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
We're back. We've just finished talking about the ALCS of the Red Sox and Astros series and also their cheating scandals that have actually been kind of going on during this series and the whole season. Now we're going to talk about the NLCS between the Brewers and the Dodgers. The Brewers had a chance to really put this series out of reach, but unfortunately, 13 innings, they couldn't get it done. The Dodgers beat them in 13 innings yesterday. Is this a momentum shift for the Dodgers, or do you think the Brewers can still make a run and make the World Series?
It's definitely a momentum shift. We know how important these games are, especially, you know, a situation where game 4, you're down 2-1. I think obviously it was a game the Dodgers needed a little bit more than the Brewers. With that being said, I know the Brewers would have loved to go up 3-1 in this series instead of being now 2-2 and facing a Clayton Kershaw. But interesting game last night. I wasn't sure after we got to through the 10th inning when it would end. And then Bellinger comes in and gets the RBI single last night, which knocks in Machado. Manny Machado. So he gets knocked out into the game. He got knocked in for the win. Just a gritty game by the Dodgers. It wasn't the prettiest, of course. It took 13 innings, but man, they really needed that one.
Yeah, it was a must win. We said that yesterday in the morning. And we'll say it again now, that was a must win, and they won it. They listened to us. They listen to our show.
Yeah, so it was a very well-pitched game. I mean, Rich Hill, for the Dodgers, he started. He went five strong, gave a run. Gio Gonzalez, though, he left real early in that game. It looked like he had a leg injury, so he leaves early. It's a totally a bullpen game for the Brewers, which is unfortunate, because if they would have known that it went to 13 innings, it's even tougher pill to swallow, knowing that you had to use so many bullpen pitchers. A guy like Josh Hader, of course, he got to pitch last night because he didn't pitch game two. So it'll be interesting moving forward, because the Brewers had to expend a lot of energy with their start with their relievers, where the Dodgers did too, of course, but their relief pitchers pitched less innings, and now the Dodgers get to put their ace on the mound, Clayton Kershaw. So anything that stood out to you about last night's game before we look at tonight's matchup?
I shouldn't have stayed up and watched it because I had to get up early for work, which is here, and I regret it.
Yeah, it was...
You love games like that, but sometimes you're like, come on, I just want to go to bed.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those games where it's like, man, when is this game going to end? But, man, I really want to see it. I'm committed to it. I've been watching it for so many innings. We'll see what happens. Did you see the...
Do you remember... Sorry to interrupt, but do you remember that game in 2014 when the Giants and Nationals went to 18 innings?
I do remember that. I remember where I was.
That was my first.
I was at a
year.
Wedding watching it.
Were you really? I was in my college dorm like freshman year, and I was sick. I was sick like as a skunk, whatever that means. I think I had mono or something. But I was sitting and I'm listening to the whole thing on like the radio, and I'm just like, when is this game gonna end? And then I hear hard drive right field, gone. That was a great game to watch, but it was like 18 innings. That's too much. 13 innings felt long, but man, that game could have gone on and on and on. Like, you know, you've heard of games going for like, there's that one game, in fact, like the 30s or something, that went on for 30 innings and mm-hmm. or 29 innings or whatever it was. Like, can you imagine that? I would like cry on this. I'm like, I want to go, but I need to see the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Last night's game, did you see Manny Machado kick the first baseman when he ran through?
Yeah, that was... He's always been known as kind of a dirty player or a poor sport. Remember that thing where he got tagged and he threw the helmet at the guy? Like, why'd you tag me so hard? It's like, it was like that. It was a light tag. Like, Manny Machado's always been overdramatic.
Yeah, so he's running out... you know, ground out, and first baseman Jesus Aguilar has his foot on the inside part of the bag, just like a first baseman does, normal, and Machado runs through, and it looked to me like that was intentional. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Do you call him a dirty player?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So does Christian Yelich.
Oh, yeah, he does. He kind of went off on him, didn't he?
Yeah. Machado's just known as a guy... He's just known as a hothead. He's known as being a little immature at times on the field. So, mm-hmm. you know, Christian Yelich said, one time is an accident. Repeat it over and over and over again. You're just a dirty player. It's a dirty play by a dirty player, and that's what it is. I have a lot of respect for him as a player, but you can't respect someone who plays the game like that.
Where he tries to hurt somebody?
So what do you think about Christian Yelich's
comments?
Especially
when you're trying to kick him with metal cleats.
What do you think about his comments? Do you agree? Do you think it was the right thing to say?
No, he didn't call him. He was being honest. Like, he didn't call him anything vulgar or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if he was saying something a little, like, rude or, like, offensive, that would be one thing. But he was pretty calm throughout the interview. And, like, he was just saying, like, he's a great player, but just he's dirty.
Yeah, so the bench is cleared. No punches were thrown or anything like that, but it was...
Which I was surprised about. I expected at least one punch thrown.
Yeah.
By Machado.
It was an incident. It was one of those baseball incidents where the bench is clear, everybody kind of stands around looking at each other, and then they go back to playing baseball again. But, yeah, it was... I don't know, man. It was a dirty play, in my opinion. I don't think that I try and see everything from, you know, I try and see it from different angles where, you know, maybe he was running it out. But I mean, I look at that play, you see the replay, and you see him look down. Like, he's not looking forward.
Oh, no, it was
he's looking right there. He knew what he was doing. It was calculated. Unfortunate, in my opinion, because, you know, a 13-inning game, there's a lot to talk about there. That's newsworthy in itself, but you have to go on and do that. I hope that Machado doesn't, you know, do any more of these antics for this series, because it's a great series. It's at 2-2. Game 5 is tonight. We got Wade Miley pitching for Milwaukee. He's been fantastic. Clayton Kershaw trying to recover from his last outing where it wasn't the best game for Kershaw. So let's talk about it, Jeff, tonight. It's actually during the day. It's a 2 o'clock game. So these guys have about 14 hours between games. They got done
not
at
very
a,
long.
They got
it?
Done at about 11:30 Pacific time last night. They got to turn around and play at 2 o'clock Pacific time today. So, yeah, it's coming up. So, with that being said, do you think the Dodgers have an advantage here because they have their ace, but they also have they're riding the wave of last night? And both teams will be tired, of course, but it always is a lot easier coming off a win, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, honestly, both when you think about both series, I'm just going to look at both in general. These both can go to 7 very easily. And this shows just how even the Brewers, how good the Brewers actually are. The Brewers are not looked at because they're the underdog, of course. But they can handle themselves with the Dodgers. They've proven it. Even if they lost in 13, they proved they can still handle them. They have the resilience to bounce back. And I can see them taking this. This is a crucial, crucial Game 6.
Game 5, sorry. But you're right. It is crucial. In my opinion,
2-2, I did the math wrong.
In my opinion, the winner of this game will win the series because it's one of those, like, if Milwaukee wins this game, if they come back and win this game after last night, it's going to be incredibly hard for the Dodgers to get back that momentum that they will have lost. But if the Dodgers win, that's 2 wins really quickly to go. You were down 2-1, you go up 3-2. That's an incredible momentum shift as well. So what do you see will happen tonight, Jeff, with Wade Miley and Clayton Kershaw? Who has the advantage here? And will we see some more offense than we did last night?
There's always a possibility of the bats being loud or silent. It really varies. But
we will see more runs, though, right? We're not going to see more than 3 runs tonight.
Yeah. Me, I don't know.
I'll bet 100 push-ups that we do.
It's a little much, don't you think?
3 runs? We're going to see more than 3.
Well,
I don't care.
Kershaw's pitching, correct?
I thought he has problems in the postseason, correct?
I know, but sometimes, like, a broken clock runs twice. It was right twice a day.
I'll bet you that there will be more than 4 runs scored.
You know what? I probably will agree with that.
All right, fine.
Just so you shut the hell up. No, I'm kidding.
So, what do you see tonight? Who has the advantage? We saw the bats go cold last night for both teams, really.
Since the Dodgers won that big 13-inning game, I would give the momentum to them. Just when you win a long and tough game like that, you feel good about yourself. When you lose that game, it's kind of demoralizing.
Okay. Are you worried about Kershaw's last outing, though? Miley's been on fire.
Yeah. I'm worried because the Brewers were loud against Kershaw last time.
Yeah.
Do you think that's affecting Kershaw? Because Kershaw looks like he gets in his head a lot, doesn't he?
Do you think that this is maybe a career-defining game for Kershaw? Because if he loses this game in the NLCS and they go on to lose
the series, he will be known as a choke artist.
It's a big game for Kershaw. I think he'll show up. I know that he's had problems. I know that he hasn't had the same postseason success as he's had in the regular season, but
not even close.
You got to think, though, like, he's a good pitcher. His stuff is nasty. When it's on, it's on. I just think a lot of times he gives up hits in the postseason because he lets off for a pitch or two. Like, he loses his mental edge for a pitch or two. And then,
but that's
and then,
not how you should be in the postseason.
No, I agree with that. But, like, for example, let's take his last outing. He gives up a home run to a pitcher, right? A relief pitcher.
That
someone who doesn't even have experience handling the bat very often.
Right. It's not like a pitch.
It's not even a starting pitcher. You know, yeah, like somebody not, who knows.
It's a reliever.
And sure, the guy can hit the ball, and like, he's a big guy, and he's got strength.
Well,
and
the thing is, with like pitchers hitting home runs, there's going to be a starting pitcher that's gotten some experience in hitting and can get a good shot on a ball once every 100 bat bats. But when it's a relief pitcher who probably hasn't hit
one or two at bats all year,
not even in his career, he's a reliever. So yeah, it's a
sometimes
it's a
like one of those relief pitchers will get stuck in one of those extra inning games, so then they have to bat because
that's what I mean, like one at bat every couple of years.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. All right. So you got the Dodgers today or Brewers?
That's the question. What, you go first?
I'll take the Dodgers.
I'll counter and take the Brewers, just so we have something to argue about.
I think
later.
Dodgers will win 4-3.
I say the Brewers win 4-3.
I think it's a big deal that Hader is not going to be able to pitch today for Milwaukee. Plus, that bullpen is tired for Milwaukee. I know they're a great bullpen, but you still want guys that are fresh. So I give the edge to the Dodgers.
I think everyone's going to be exhausted, though.
Yeah, but think about this. The Brewers bullpen pitched 12 innings last night. 12.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Dodgers pitched 7, I believe. 7 2/3. So, I mean,
do you think the Brewers need more trust in their starting pitchers?
I think they just need a good performance from their starting pitcher today because they need to rest that bullpen.
Well, they kind of just...
They need
they
game
gave
six
up,
and
they,
seven
they
to have their
arms. They
gave
up on a starter extremely quickly, don't you think?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, he got hurt.
All right, that's right. But, like, they shouldn't you, like, move in another starting pitcher?
I mean, I think they did what they had to do. I don't...
What do you do in that situation? Do you go to relievers or do you go to maybe...
Because I mean, they had Peralta go in and pitch 3 innings.
Well, the thing is,
and then Garrett pitched 3 2/3 at the end.
It's so early in the game and relievers don't really have that stamina to go long. You're putting a whole relief, your whole bullpen at risk is what I'm trying to make. My point is trying to be made. Shouldn't you please put in someone that has experience going for a long period of time?
I think if
that's what she said.
Well, Peralta came in through for 3 innings, so that's pretty good. But I think that if
that's not enough,
I think in hindsight they should have pitched.
So he played from the second inning to the fifth inning. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not
yeah, he was
time.
The bridge. Yeah, but I mean, I think in hindsight they would have pitched Guerra for earlier in the game. He ended up pitching really well for them in extra innings. Ultimately, he got the loss, but that loss wasn't on him. You know. Mm-hmm. He pitched really well, so I think if they could do it over again, they would probably put Guerra in the game earlier. They'd probably, you know, if they knew this game was going to go 13 innings, they probably pitch Guerra from the fifth inning to the eighth inning.
It's
so.
In the past, and you can't get angry about the past, but we're going to take a short break.
I'm always angry about the past. If you're not angry about the past,
are you angry about, like, the Louisiana Purchase?
If you're not angry about the past, are you even alive?
Okay, are you angry about the Louisiana Purchase?
Amongst other things.
You're angry about that. Because that's in the past. You can't get mad about it. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm mad.
Thanks for ruining my friend's reference, by the way. Anyways, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about soccer or Nick Bosa.
No, we are talking about NBA.
Jeff hasn't
had his coffee this morning.
I haven't. I ran out of coffee in my home. And I'm
no one cares.
I have no energy. I have no liquids. I have no food.
Nobody cares, Jeff. We all have to go to work every day.
Hey, I have. You guys care, right?
No.
Right? Come on.
I'll speak for everybody else.
No.
All right. So let's take a break.
Well, maybe that's what your wife said. Oh, anyways. Okay. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we will be talking about the NBA openers that have happened between mainly the Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we'll get right on that when we return.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com. GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
The GSMC Sports Podcast. We just finished talking about both the ALCS and the NLCS. Now we're moving on to the National Basketball Association opener, which happened yesterday. The Warriors narrowly beat Oklahoma City after a comeback. Paul George was mainly the torchbearer for the Warriors, the Thunder, excuse me, as Russell Westbrook did not play in the opener. Is this a sign of things to come as the Warriors ended a 2-year losing streak of openers? And now they're heading into the season 1-0.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate, too, that Westbrook wasn't able to play. I think if the NBA schedule makers knew that he wouldn't be available, they would have scheduled somebody else.
He said it like the last minute, too, that he wasn't playing.
Yeah, I mean, he has his knee issue going on. So he's being cautious, of course, which is probably the smart thing to do. The NBA is a grind. It's a long season. You don't want to come back too early from injuries and things like that.
82 games is a lot of games.
Yeah, you don't want to come back too early. And we just know that NBA is just a grind. Like, it's 82 games, but a guy like Russell Westbrook is playing like 40 minutes a night. I mean, he's going to take a lot of wear and tear. So it's probably the best thing for him. But, I mean, the Warriors, they won. I think that, of course, they should win this game. They're obviously better than the Thunder, even at full strength. So they should win at home. Especially when the Thunder are missing their best player, their franchise player in Russell Westbrook. I thought it was just a decent game. The game was fine. It was close. I never really thought the Thunder were going to win, to be honest with you. Steph Curry had a really good game, 32 points on 20 shots. That's a very good start to his season as they go for another ring. Kevin Durant, 27 points in 38 minutes. So, I mean, the Warriors look good. We'll see what the bench will give them this year, or if it will even matter because of how solid they are. They're starting five.
Solid is a very understatement, if you ask me.
Absolutely. So, we will see.
Basically an all-star squad.
We will see what happens with them. Did you get to see their rings that they had?
I have. They're very nice rings. Very interesting reversible rings.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the rings, because last night, of course, was the ring ceremony for the Warriors as they celebrated their championship from last season. The rings are reversible. The top pops off. It can flip around.
It's basically a day and night type of thing.
I think it's pretty cool. I was really skeptical before I saw it. When I heard
reversible, I'm like, wait a minute, does the ring, like, is it like a t-shirt? Does you just put it inside out and it still works? Or
you remember those reversible NFL jerseys?
That no one, oh my God.
I used to have one.
Ago.
I had a red Jerry Rice and on the other side it was black.
Oh, right. I forgot that was a thing. They used to do that with, when I used to play basketball for like AAU, that's
yeah, you had
all right,
one shirt.
We're away, guys. Just flip it.
Reversible things are funny usually.
You're funny.
Thank you. So those
faces,
those rings are pretty cool with the diamonds and the sapphires. Of course, the blue with the Warriors colors. Awesome ring. Awesome season, of course, for the Warriors. I don't think anybody has. Does anyone on this planet have anyone other than the Warriors making it to the final, at least? Maybe not winning it, but just making it. Like,
Houston
I feel
Rockets
like even
fans.
The biggest Rockets fans aren't even thinking they're going to get past the Warriors. I don't know. I'm very skeptical. It was cool that Steve Kerr got on the mic last night during the ring ceremony, and he talked about Joe Lacob, and how the owner of the Warriors was booed in 2010.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, and the dude, and I forget who it was like, "Show some class. He's doing his best. He's good."
It was Chris Mullin.
That was Chris Mullin. I forgot who that was. I just remember a guy just saying, "Show some class." Like, I hate it when a guy like tells the audience to show some class. You're just rattling them up more. Ignore them and they will stop.
Yeah, so Steve Kerr mentioned this, and I thought it was cool. I thought it was interesting because if you're a fan of a team that that you feel like your team has no chance, I thought it was cool just to hear that because it wasn't too long ago that the Warriors were the laughingstock of the NBA. It wasn't too long ago, even when they had Curry.
Wasn't it a great time?
Even when they had Curry, they didn't start off so hot. So things can change quickly in sports, and I think even though we're very cynical about basketball nowadays, with we just talk about how the big cities get all the players and you know, the big teams, the players just play wherever they want, and the loyalty is lost, and the smaller franchises don't have a chance. It does make you have some perspective and think, okay, maybe my team in this city around California or in the United States can, I don't know, maybe do well.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. Three things are certain: death, taxes, and the Warriors winning an NBA championship.
Yeah, but nobody would say that in 2010.
Yeah, if you said that, they'd laugh at you.
So let's move on to the other game on the slate last night. As we saw, two of the favorites in the Eastern Conference, Boston, they take care of business. They were at home. They play in that stadium on the Charles River. Did I tell you that? Did I ever mention that the TD Center is on the Charles? Have I said that before?
I think you already have, yeah.
I can't remember. I remember talking about the Broctagon, but I didn't remember if I... All right, so the Celtics 105-87 over the 76ers. Were you surprised by this result at all, or did you see this coming?
I expected a closer game.
I didn't.
Really? You expected a manslaughter?
Yeah.
It wasn't a murder, it was just a manslaughter.
Yeah,
charge.
Because the Celtics have something to prove. Like, it's... This is go time for them. They got Kyrie.
Hey,
they
got Gordon. I'm just thankful Gordon Hayward didn't destroy his ankle in the first game.
Gordon Hayward survived this game without injury. So hats off to Gordon Hayward as he has made his 1 year recovery from that terrible injury last season on last season's opener. So yeah, you thought it was gonna be a little bit of a better game?
Just a little competitive. It wasn't even competitive.
Even though you saw what the 76ers did in the playoffs last year, you still thought that?
Yeah, I just feel like you got to bounce back. I thought they would bounce back strong. Guess I was wrong.
How big is the difference between the Sixers and the Celtics?
The difference?
How big is the gap?
Well, the Celtics are one seed. I said the 76ers were like a fifth seed.
No, I think you had them third.
Did
you
I
had Toronto too? Toronto or Philly
I thought
three?
I had...
Your Wait. Top four was Boston, Milwaukee, Toronto.
Milwaukee was my two seed. That was my big guess.
So then Philly was your four behind Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay. So how big is that gap? Like,
four spaces. Three spaces.
Do you think that, I mean, what will Philly need to do to catch Boston, I guess, is a better question. Do they need to add, like, a major player? Do they need another big, I don't know, young player? Like... They got Simmons, they got Embiid, you know, they have a decent team. Like, you know, they have
Are you saying they should tank again and grab another player?
I'm not saying tank, but, like, do you think that this team can compete with Boston, or do they need to make another big move?
I think they need to make a big move, or they're hoping a team that faces the Celtics in the playoffs beat them.
I don't think that's going to happen, but...
Well, I mean, crazier things have happened.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
yeah, if you're looking through, historically speaking, some crazy stuff has happened.
The Eagles won a Super Bowl, so anything can happen.
The Cleveland Browns are also not terrible, which is crazy. So, yeah. I mean, 105-87 Boston, they take care of the 76ers. Jason Tatum was a star for the Celtics, 23 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. How good is Jason Tatum?
Really good.
Do you think that the Sixers wish that they would have just taken Jason Tatum and not moved up and taken Markelle Fultz?
Well, we haven't really seen what Fultz can do yet.
He played 24 minutes last night and had a terrible game. 5 points.
One game does not define you.
I understand.
Look at Peyton Manning.
He's played more than one game.
I know I'm going to follow up. Peyton Manning went 3-13 his first year in the NFL. Now he's considered the greatest quarterback.
Yeah, but we're talking. That's a quarterback. Let's talk about this guard.
The pink point guard is basically the quarterback.
Yeah, but he's not really the point guard, though. Ben Simmons is a point guard. I mean,
fine.
Fultz is more of the two. Yeah, so anyways, Joel Embiid is, I think, the best player on that team, in my opinion. 23 and 10 last night. Ben Simmons had 19, 15, and 8. He's
it's not a bad game.
Yeah, I know that you were criticizing him yesterday for his 1 point in the playoffs.
I'm sorry, right? That's pretty... you could be critical about that. I'm sorry.
Well, did he shut you up with the 19, 15, and 8?
Well, do that in the playoffs, and I'll shut up.
What about against a good team like Boston? That's pretty good.
Yeah, do it in the playoffs.
Why are you so angry this morning?
I haven't had coffee. I didn't get coffee. I have no food in me. I'm starving. I'm thirsty. Everything.
Nobody cares, Jeff.
Yeah, I can name 10 people that care.
Your cats don't count.
I don't have 10 cats.
You have 9. Your cats and your mom don't count.
Okay, you want to hear? Hudson, CK, Brendan, Brett, Nyoka.
Are those all the kids you hang out at lunch
those
with?
Those are my like closest friends. From like, they've been my friends for years.
Is that you hang out in the cafeteria?
What cafeteria? What
CK
the hell are you talking about?
CK and Hudson and...
Those are my friends since kindergarten, you jerk.
That's awesome, Jeff. Everybody.
Okay, I got to finish. Winfred. Did I say Brett? I think I said Brett. Who else? Okay, that's 7.
Billy.
I'm forgetting people because it's so early in the morning.
Oh, it's fine. Nobody cares.
Those 7, I love you. And the people I forgot, I'm so sorry right
so
now.
So tonight,
I'm
so the rest.
Oh, Delaney. There.
All right, anyways, back to sports. Okay. Tonight, the rest of the NBA. The rest of the NBA will start as baseball continues in the MLB postseason.
He might not love you guys, but I do. Don't worry.
But tonight, is there a game on tonight's slate that you're interested in seeing? There's, I will say maybe the Pelicans-Rockets might be the best game tonight. It's on ESPN.
Yeah, I feel like the Rockets are still going to take this one pretty handily.
Yeah, they're at home. It's a debut for James Harden.
Oh,
the
Kobe.
Beard.
I got a shout out to Kobe, too, because he's one of my closest. He's in a wheelchair.
Kobe?
I love him to death, yeah.
Like Bryant? Or
it's with a C, but he's cooler than Kobe Bryant.
Awesome, man. So let's take a break
I forgot to name him, but I love him to death. All right, sorry. No more about my friend.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about some interesting things that have happened in sports. We'll talk about Nick Bosa and Ohio State, and we will talk about some international soccer, some United States national team men and women. We'll talk about what's going on.
All right.
And when we come back.
I'm ready. Are you ready? We'll be right back, and we'll be ready.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
We are back with the GSMC Sports Podcast. We've talked about the ALCS and NLCS. We've talked about the NBA openers that continue on today. And now we're going to move on to college football as Nick Bosa, arguably a top 5 draft pick coming out of Ohio State, has left school or says he no longer wants to play so he can focus on the draft.
Yeah. And I think that for him, that's a business decision that he's making. And I will not fault him for that because he's not, it's, I think it would be different if it was a player sitting out trying to avoid injury, but we know that he was injured. So yeah, he
doesn't
want
to risk. He doesn't want to risk further injury, which makes sense. And also, there's the age-old question: should college players get paid? Because that's probably another reason why he's not going to play. Because he's not getting paid, so why bother? Like, why bother risking all the money you're going to get in the NFL? Because he's still a top five pick if he doesn't play the rest of the season.
Oh yeah.
And when he comes back, when he's in the NFL, if he came back to Ohio State in the last games of the season and got injured, more injured. He drops, and he loses millions of dollars off that.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with them on this one. You know, it is this conversation that's been happening the last couple of years in college football. These players, where maybe they'll skip their bowl game or they'll skip like a couple games at the end of the year because they're a top draft pick and they don't want to hurt their future or put it in any doubt at all. So I get it. These players, they get scholarships. And they're asked to play, you know, under free education most of the time. But it makes more sense financially for them to not risk their future, because when they get in the NFL, that's when they start their professional
career. Can I also name a good point? A lot of high school players get scholarships, and then they get hurt, and then they're done. They lose their scholarship. So it's the same thing with college in the NFL, because you're losing not just a college, you're not losing a college education, you're losing a millions and millions of dollar contract.
And we are talking about Nick Bosa being the brother of Joey Bosa for the Los
Angeles. Wait, really? They're related?
For the Los Angeles Chargers.
No way.
So, I mean, we kind of saw this coming because, you know, Joey Bosa, he's one to have held out before.
That was Dean Spanos being a little greedy.
Right. But we just know that they're always looking in their best interest, business decisions-wise, and it makes perfect sense. And I expect Nick Bosa to have a similar draft position as Joey Bosa, as he'll probably be a top five pick. So if you think you're a top five pick, if that's what you've been advised,
he knows he's a top five pick.
Yeah, it's
he might
really
go number
hard.
One if a team that goes number one doesn't need a quarterback.
There are a lot of teams that could use a Nick Bosa who will invest in a Nick Bosa.
Every team needs a Nick Bosa. He's that special of a player. Have you seen him play in Ohio State? It's his speed, his strength.
Yeah. And if we're looking at the top five potential draft teams right now in the NFL, you got teams like the Raiders, you got teams like the Niners, you got teams like even Arizona that could definitely use a defensive line player like that, somebody who can disrupt the backfield, somebody who can get to the quarterback and make life miserable. We all know that pass rushers are a premium in the NFL. It's really never been better to be a pass rusher, in my opinion. Would you agree with that?
Oh, money-wise and like contract-wise?
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
And I mean, like, other than quarterback, pass rushers are just viewed as like the second
They're
most.
They're crucial. They yeah. are absolutely crucial.
Yeah. So, moving on.
It's necessary, we'll say.
Yeah. So, yeah, Nick Bosa, we'll see. Sounds like he's done at Ohio State. I'm sure the fans will be a little upset about that. But, you know, it is what it is. So, moving on, the United States women's national team. They play tonight, and they will play here in the Gold Cup final. They'll be playing against Canada, and it's funny because the CONCACAF region is just not very competitive in women's soccer. We're talking about USA, the women, scoring 18 goals and giving up none. They just cruise in their group. Canada does the same, 17 goals, one against. It should be an interesting game. As we know, Canada is a tough opponent for the United States. It's one of the better teams in the world. Both these teams are up there in terms of favorites of winning the World Cup next summer in the women's game. So it will be interesting to see. That game is at 5 o'clock Pacific time tonight. It will be interesting to see. I think the U.S. women are playing really well right now, but it should be a solid game. Last night also, we had the U.S. men's national team They squared off against Peru in a friendly match. So it was a solid game by the U.S. as they draw 1-1. The stats will show you that they were dominated, and they were dominated for parts of that game. As Peru had possession, they had more attempts on goal. But the U.S., of course, has been fielding very young teams. They are looking to give their young players experience. They're not really looking to give a whole lot of minutes to some of the older guys. So with that being said, they did score first in the game. They almost won. It was a nice goal by Josh Sargent as he continues his ascension through U.S. soccer. Still a very, very young player. He's been a guy who has killed it on the international stage at the youth levels, and now he's getting his chance to be somebody who can be a focal point for the United States men's national team going forward. As we know, they missed the World Cup, and they do need some players to step up. They have some young players around the world who are getting a chance to play with some big clubs. Of course, he's on Werder Bremen over in Germany. He's only 18 years old. He might be the next player other than Christian Pulisic, as we already know, the Borussia Dortmund man. We already know that he is the current U.S. best player, but he does need other players to help him out. So Josh Sargent, he's somebody who could be that player, and he's playing for a big club in Germany. So it will be interesting to watch him. Watch his career as it unfolds. Jeff, do you have anything you'd like to discuss in the wide world of sports before we call it a day?
Well, I'll continue with the soccer conversation. Like, America's always been known as like the underdog when it comes to soccer, because that's never the strong suit. That's never the big teams or anything like that. That's only cared about during the World Cup, and they didn't even make the World Cup. So if they want to be, I guess you want to say, relevant in America, they got to get to the next World Cup, and they got to make a statement in these games. So I just hope for the best of them.
Yeah, and they're still without a coach right now. It sounds like they are. They will have a coach named pretty soon. They've gone this whole year without committing to anybody yet, kind of taking their time and seeing. But their interim coach, Sarachin, he has taken upon himself to play the younger players, which has been nice to see, because some of these guys like Tim Weah, young player, plays for PSG, one of the biggest clubs in the world. Other players that they have, young players, they've been getting a chance, which has been nice to see. But that's all I got for U.S. soccer today.
And I think that's all the time we have for today. Tune us in tomorrow. We'll talk more about the GSMC Sports Podcast. We'll talk about the other games in the LCS and NLCS. And we'll probably preview Thursday Night Football, since it's Thursday tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I forgot it's Wednesday. That's how out of it I am. But tune in tomorrow. I hopefully will have coffee in me. And we will see you tomorrow.
Peace.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.